This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Sharp Money as we welcome you back. Hour three, got a lot to do. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, of course. Amal Shaw, the Prince. Las Vegas at the South Point, the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. And do my eyes deceive me? My good friend Scott Sprites, a professional handicapper, 30-plus years in Las Vegas. You can find him, Doc Sports, docsports.com, at Scott Wins on Twitter. And I'll embarrass him because I was talking to Dustin yesterday, and I said, is Scott returning? And he said, yes, he is. And shocker, he already sent out notes. NFL, college football, Major League Baseball. He does this for us, and we appreciate you. How you doing, Scott? First off, you look sharp. How's your summer been going?
It's been going great, man. I've spent a whole lot of time in the pool. You know, first world problems. It was so cold in May and June. I mean, it was like 95 degrees every day. And so the pool never really warmed up to where it should be. Of course, we got 120 degrees every day after, you know, after like June 20th or whatever. So I got to spend a lot of time in the pool. It was either that or traveling, checking out concerts, and always at the end of the night on the computer, working away at baseball and the upcoming football season, Patrick.
Again, when I first saw you on the screen, after all the time at the pool, I didn't know if it was Scott Spritzer or David Hasselhoff with that tan. You're looking good, my man.
It was seriously tan about a week ago before I had to stay out of the pool the last week with the clouds over all the time and kid in town and all that stuff. But I was doing a show on a Friday night a few weeks ago with Wes Reynolds, and I looked at the screen and I'm like, yes, folks, I've heard of sunblock. I really have. I just haven't bought any. So it was pretty serious a few weeks ago. Maybe
an update. You mentioned your daughter returned home from Reno, Nevada, where she goes to school. I know you're very proud of her. Let's get an update. Did she bring her boyfriend home? Are they still dating?
They are still dating. I got a text message yesterday. Hey, Dad, our 6-month anniversary is like August 5th. And I'm like, oh my God. So after I threw my phone in the trash, she did not come back. He did not come back with her this last time. She was in town to go see a Smashing Pumpkins concert. We were here. She was only in town for about 4 days, but that was the main reason. Go see the Smashing Pumpkins, who tore it up, Patrick and Dustin and Amal. They tore it up.
Did you see it? Did you go to the concert as well?
Oh, absolutely. My daughter and I, yeah. And we stood about maybe 3 rows from the stage amongst the people, elbow to elbow. And best concert, best show I've seen in a long, long time. And I go to a lot of shows. They just tore the place up.
Well, Corgan's a legend. Now, did he do a lot of talking between songs? You do know that he's not fanatical. He's obsessive. I mean, he's obsessed with wrestling. As a matter of fact, I think he's an owner of some sort of wrestling conglomeration. For those that don't know, the Smashing Pumpkins lead singer is like the biggest wrestling fan on the planet. Did you know that, Scott?
Yeah, I think it's NWA, if I recall correctly, that he is an owner of. And getting the signal from Dustin that is correct, NWA. And it's funny because you always, you know, I saw them, last time I saw them was 1994, believe it or not. And So I told my daughter, who's, you know, she's into all kinds of music. Of course, she likes Taylor Swift and all that stuff. But she likes a lot of the stuff that I did in the early 90s, late 80s, all that. And I told her, don't be surprised if Billy Corgan, you know, sounds like a wounded donkey when he's singing sometimes. But he came out and he sounded great. He was having a fantastic time on stage. The crowd was crazy and into it. They played 2 out of 3 nights in Vegas last Friday and Sunday. Almost went to the Sunday, but I did go to the Friday. And they just put on a terrific show. I thought they were better this time around than they were in 1994 when they were 29, 30 years younger.
Let's find out if Amal Shaw can name one Smashing Pumpkins song. Well, and by the way, this is a big Taylor Swift house. Sharp Money, bunch of Swifties. Okay, don't sleep. I freaking love that girl.
Amal Shaw? To be honest with you, I would, but there's just too many great choices to select from. So I'm just probably going to refrain from going through the entire road.
That's well played.
And who's running for governor next time around?
Yeah. Well played by the prince, who does have a future in politics. Just ask
him. Either way, I thought you were probably happy that the boyfriend didn't come down. You didn't have to say yes or no, sir, this time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you remember that.
That's one of the best lines I've ever heard in my life.
You know, it's funny because the guy's ripped, but he's like thin ripped. You know, he's like a full contact karate type of shape, you know, and he goes about 6'5", you know. And I just got a call from my daughter last week before she came into town, and she goes, hey, Luke's dad has been contacted by a scout for the Minnesota Wild. They want to talk to him about taking a year off and training. because he played hockey all his life and baseball. And then they said, and he told him, he goes, I haven't played in over a year. I'm not that great. And they said, you're 6'5". We'll make you into a player. And so that might happen too. And I told her, if that happens, boy's got to come up with season tickets if he wants to hang around the Spritzer household. That's all I'm saying.
Well, all kidding aside, it's great to see you. You know how much we appreciate you driving in and doing the spot with us weekly. So thank you very much. It's football season, Scott. It's August 2nd, and we're looking forward to it. Why don't we start here? Because I know you have plenty on college football, Major League Baseball, NFL, but I do want to start with the Hall of Fame game. And maybe we can just step back and just kind of slow down and understand what the preseason means to professional bettors. Now, the Hall of Fame game is a little bit of its own thing. It's in its own vacuum because it comes so quickly. But the preseason, we can start there, and then we can discuss the Jets and Browns, and we've got a number with the Jets laying 2, and of course a low total of 33.5. But just run with it. Preseason betting for pros.
For as long as I can remember, jumping on that under the Hall of Fame game was the way to go. I mean, you just saw a lot of just really basic stuff, almost like fall camp glorified when you talked about the Hall of Fame game. And so, you know, if I got involved, it was usually looking at the total, looking to play the under. As you mentioned, it's pretty low because of that for one reason. You don't see starters hardly ever, and you won't in this game from what we've heard thus far. So that total sitting at 33.5. So what I do, and I do this in all preseason games, but especially that Hall of Fame game, if I'm going to get involved, and then week one of the preseason, is I like to look at quarterback rotations, preseason quarterback rotations. And you guys might remember a name many years ago, his first year in preseason football, Cleo Lemon. And he was a guy who tore it up like his first preseason. Not as good like by season 3, but he made us some money. And then most recently, Mr. August belonged to Kyle Sloter. You guys might remember was playing for the Vikings. He played for a few teams, but my gosh, when he came in a game in preseason, he was like, you know, 10 of 11 every game with a touchdown or two passes and no picks, and just made every play that you could imagine under the sun in a positive manner. So I'm always looking for that. You know, you're not going to get the starters in this game, which is usually the case in preseason Hall of Fame game action, and even later in preseason. And I want to see who that guy is that's battling for second string or maybe third string, trying to land a job. And then I usually tend to say, okay, if the line's not too far off from where I'd make it with those quarterbacks we're talking about, then I go ahead and jump in. So that's kind of what we got here. I think we have a quarterback advantage in this game that we can talk about.
Well, you know, you mentioned Cleo Lemon. I don't remember the second name with Minnesota, but I think he brings up a great point, Patrick, which is when you look at these games, especially the Hall of Fame game is a little bit different because you know the starters are not going to play.
Right.
But from the standpoint that the preseason, Scott, I feel like there are some great betting opportunities. It's the one time in an NFL game where you might wind up with a 31-3 win. Sure. Those are so hard to get in the regular season. But it seems like so many of these games are one-sided. We've talked about the Ravens at length in the past, guys. Baltimore is a team that seems like they go out and play in the preseason like it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And Robert Saleh is, what, 5-0-1 so far in preseason. But you're absolutely right. It's a different animal now than it was up until last year. And I'm not as crazy about getting involved in preseason football. Wasn't last year. They took away a lot of tools that I used over the course of the last 25 years when it came to handicapping preseason football. Week 2, I rarely got involved in week 1 of preseason. Rarely. Maybe 1 or 2 bets per preseason in week 1. Week 2 was my favorite week to jump in on. A lot of folks like to wait till week 3. More of a, I guess, closest thing you get to a regular season game when we used to have one more week of preseason football. Right. And then, but I was like into week 2 big time because you would always get a couple of coaches who would decide that week 2 is when they were going to play their starters deep into a game, at least at halftime, maybe first series of the third quarter, matched up against a coach who would probably go with his starters maybe 2 series, 3 series tops. And I thought there were a lot of opportunities in week 2. They completely took that away from us and pulled the carpet from under our feet going into last year with the difference in the preseason playing now that we've got a 17th regular season game. So a little bit more cautious. Don't know that I'm going to have a bunch of plays or a normal amount of plays pre-2022 when I used to have at least 12 or 13 preseason plays. Last year, I think I had 5 or 6, and I won't be shocked if I end up with, you know, half a dozen again this preseason.
You've got to play on the Vikings. I want to hold off on the season win total. You've also got to play on Clemson, We've been talking. Our college football betting guide is coming out tomorrow. We'll hold off on that to the next segment as well. Why don't we do this in the final 2 minutes? Amon-Ra St. Brown, you've got him going over 1,500 receiving yards on the year.
Yeah, I jumped on this a little bit earlier this month or in July, and I'll tell you what, I did find a book, and I think I might have done and talked about this a little bit last time I was in studio, but I found a book that was like 50 yards lower than 1,500 receiving yards, and I don't think it's out there anymore. It got hit big and hard, but listen, he's averaged nearly 100 receptions per season through his first couple of years, and his numbers went up last year. Their passing offense, DVOA, went from 28th 2 years ago to fifth in the league last year. And, of course, when you look at, like, Jared Goff and how he handled, you know, Cup out west, he's kind of doing that with Amon-Ra St. Brown last year at least. And they attempted the 10th most passes in the league last year in all the NFL. Yep. They got the new offensive coordinator last year, who's back again this year. The offensive line is expected to be really good. I mean, maybe not elite, but next level below elite. And again, he treats St. Brown, Goff does, like he did Cooper Kupp. I like the tight end pickup in the draft. And with the three heads coming back, with the quarterback coming back, Amon St. Brown, obviously, with less receivers to share it with this year, and with the offensive coordinator coming back, Ben Johnson, I think it's a good spot to play over 1,500 yards. Those first six games, he's going to be out with one of his top receivers, Jameson Williams, who's serving out a suspension.
You know, no, the targets are going to be there. Ben Johnson's obsessed with him. I was just back in Michigan, Scott, and they were talking about Ra St. Brown. They were talking about Ben. The coup for Dan Campbell to keep Ben Johnson when teams wanted to interview him. Pardon me. Remember, the Fords paid him.
Yep.
They were like, "We're not losing you because we know the importance of that offense that was prolific last year." And Ra St. Brown, 1,500 is a wonderful number. Let's come back and talk Clemson. Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper in studio. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hey, if you're tormented by the transfer portal, the coaching carousel got you confused, let our 2023 VSIN College Football Guide get you ready for the upcoming season. This year's College Football Preview Magazine includes season win total picks and previews of all 133 FBS teams. The squad behind the scenes, my goodness, it's a lot of work. It's arduous. Plus features, articles on how to create power ratings, create your own model, calculate home field advantage, and who to bet on for the Heisman. Get Matt Eumanns' preseason top 25, Steve Mackinnon's top betting systems, and what you need to know to be ready for kickoff. The College Football Betting Guide comes out tomorrow and is one of the many benefits to becoming a VSIN Pro subscriber. You can sign up now. It's pretty simple. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I mentioned I woke up to an effusive email from Bill AD, who sent a copy out to all my coworkers, and he was very excited about this year's College Football Betting Guide, and he doesn't get excited about much. So I can assure you, you're going to want to get it. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. We got you back here. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, Scott Spreitzer took a second out of the pool, put a nice blazer, and he's in. Professional handicapper, Doc Sports, docsports.com. Been doing it for a very long time in Las Vegas. And this is good because we've been talking college football. You just heard about the College Football Betting Guide. I want to discuss Clemson, because I think this is a fascinating year for Clemson, and you've got them winning the ACC. Amal, I think we're going to go over as a show the ACC tomorrow, yep. So I'm looking forward to it. But you got a price here. Clemson at plus 150 to win the ACC, Scott. Let's get into them.
I can't wait to hear you guys talk about it. I also can't wait to read that college football annual coming awesome. Out tomorrow. I still haven't looked at Human's top 50 with fast food shops, so I'm looking forward to that too. But I did get that in the email the other night. But listen, a couple of quick facts. Everybody talks about Clemson being down last year and the year before, for that matter. And yeah, I guess they were, relatively speaking, but they were down and still won 21 games the last 2 years. So if they're going to improve a little bit, that means they're going to potentially win the ACC. They were 9-0 in a down year, right? So, listen, their so-called sluggish offense last year, they still scored 33 points per game throughout the course of the season, over 400, I think it was 410 yards a game. And now they got a quarterback in Klubnik, Cade Klubnik, who's going to be playing in his first full season as the starting quarterback for this team, said to be an elite passer. We've seen him. We've seen him be able to move a little bit with his feet. He can escape. He can even call his own number at times. And guess what? We talked about an offensive coordinator in the NFL in Detroit. How about the offensive coordinator coming to Clemson with Dabo Swinney, which is, of course, Garrett Riley out of TCU? You're going to see a different-looking Clemson offense to a certain extent. You know, last year on offense, they had turnover issues. They had a lack of a deep threat. And now you've got Garrett Riley. There will be a deep threat. At least they're going to test the deep waters a little bit more. Adam Randall is likely to be the deep threat on a consistent basis. And he's top shelf talent. They have top shelf talent all over at wide receiver, strong at tight end, like the interior of the offensive line, center and guards. We'll see how the tackles perform in the upcoming season, but the center and the guards elite level. And listen, I haven't even mentioned guys, Will Shipley, the running back. I mean, maybe another 1500 yard season. He's got a backup running back behind him who gained over 500 yards last year, who's going to be back. So they're extremely talented, Clemson, up and down the top 22, 11 offensive starters, 11 defensive starters. You get a little bit concerned if there's going to be key injuries, because guys, I think Clemson could play with anybody in college football, as they usually do, as far as the starters are concerned, as good as anybody's, maybe even Georgia's, but it's the depth that worries me as far as this team winning a national title. But let's not forget that last year, again, in a so-called down year, they were, what, a point away against South Carolina, didn't hang on to the lead, from being in the college football playoffs, assuming they would have beaten the Tar Heels after Carolina. So that's how close it was. And I got this from a friend of mine who I believe got this from the Action Network. And basically what it says is that Clemson's 84-2 straight up the last 86 times they've held teams to no more than 120 yards rushing in a game. 84-2. This defense is loaded. They're going to stuff the run. They got to pick off a few more passes in the secondary than last year, disrupt some passes. Great pass rush, top-level pass rush, and a great run-stuffing defense. So, you know, they're going to be 3-0 when they take on Florida State. They got Notre Dame down the line. That's a scary spot. We'll see how good Florida State is. But I do think this is your ACC champion. I think I saw plus a buck 45 on the screen. They've been as high as plus a buck 50 if you shop around.
Patrick, this is...
Well, it's funny. Amal Shah, just jump in really quickly. I love the way that Scott set that up, because think about the expectations for Clemson at this point. A frustrating season, 11-3. They won the ACC in a New Year's Six Bowl. And all of a sudden, Dabo turns around, fires his friend. Remember, Streeter was only there calling the offense for 1 year. But Amal, and I'm also, Scott, glad you brought up Riley. That is a splashy hire for the offense, sure. Amal.
Well, they needed it. Garrett Riley, as you alluded to, comes in from TCU. They did a tremendous job last year with Max Duggan and company. They go to the national championship game, and he runs the air raid. This will help. The one thing, though, that they've got to correct with Klubnik is he drops back way too far on pass plays. I mean, this guy thinks it's high school football and he's running around for 20, 25 yards. And I'm like, man, you're going to kill drives and you're going to put yourself out of field goal range in those situations. Phil Maffa, who backs up Will Shipley, I think the 1-2 combo is tremendous. The one thing, though, in my opinion, they don't do well enough, and I think they'll do a better job this year. I think Will Shipley is an elite offensive player, a top five, top 10 type of offensive player in college football. I didn't feel like they utilized him enough. I thought he took it on himself with his athletic ability to make plays happen. They've got to be better on the perimeter, in my opinion. You mentioned defensively. They've got Thomas back, Xavier Thomas, and, of course, Jeremiah Trotter. They've got some good pieces defensively. But for me, on the offensive side of the ball, it's going to come down to Klubnik in terms of not holding onto the ball too long, and then the receivers, Williams and company, have to step up on the outside.
I think that's where the new OC, Garrett Riley, comes into play, because he's obviously been hired not only to up the tempo a little bit for Clemson and overcome some of their issues that you just mentioned, but to develop the quarterback. And I think that's where he comes into play. So, you know, if he can get the best out of Klubnik, then all of a sudden, I mean, again, they were 11-3 and basically one loss away during the regular season of getting to a potential college football playoff.
Klubnik, it's funny watching him because you can tell how talented he is and he's a dual threat, but Amal, I totally agree with you. He drops back and then he acts like his ass is on fire, pardon my language, and then just starts running around like crazy, but he's super talented. You know, I guess it's the consistency, because they have the raw talent to contend, obviously. And just to give you an idea, our guide's coming out tomorrow. Speaking of Clemson, Mitch Moss has them over 10 wins. Humans has them as his seventh ranked team in the top 25. Mackinnon's got Clemson as the ninth best team in the country. You got a full write-up from Zachary Cohen. It's funny what Dabo's done there. It's almost the forgotten team coming into the year, boys.
It completely is. Look, I've said this and I still maintain this. When Brent Venables left to go to Oklahoma, I thought that was the beginning of the end for Clemson. I know Dabo Swinney's done a great job, but make no mistake about it, he's had two generational quarterbacks in Watson and Trevor Lawrence. But Venables defensively, to me, is the difference maker for that program. And now they still may be able to, you know, be at that level here right now with this team. But when you look at the schedule, I'm not that concerned against Miami down at Hard Rock. The Hurricanes don't get any attendance there, Scott.
Sure.
You look at South Carolina being a rivalry game, Patrick, that's always going to be a challenge. And that's going to be even tougher because it's at Williams-Bryce this year. So that will not be easy. I don't believe in North Carolina as much as everybody else does. I think Drake May is a tremendous offensive player. But my God, Mack Brown refuses to ever put a team out there that can play defensively.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the team that I look, I mean, obviously if Florida State is as good as the hype, you know, that's a tough game. They do get them at home. And looking at their schedule, I mean, the team that jumps out to me, the team that could beat them is Notre Dame. You'll remember the Irish were able to rush the football on Clemson last year. And Clemson doesn't give up a lot of rushing yards. So that's a scary proposition. I think that revenge angle at South Carolina, I'm not a big revenge guy. I don't play that game too much. But when it comes to Clemson and South Carolina, I can see that being played a little bit if Clemson's in the running for a college football playoff spot.
You mentioned the Notre Dame game. Sorry, Patrick. I was just going to say, remember, Sam Hartman had a big day last year in the game in Winston-Salem against the Tigers. So that will not be an easy game. Now he's playing with better talent around him. It'd be interesting to see what happens. I like Scott's pick. Look, at plus 150, it's a great bet. And remember, even if they lose to Florida State on September 23rd, there's a great opportunity to get that revenge in Charlotte in December.
Oh, by the way, real quick, do we call Garrett Riley the extinguisher if Cade Klubnik decides to stop, you know, playing with his ass on fire?
Hey, it's a family show. I apologize for the booty on fire comment. But you know this, when I was living in South Carolina, Tommy Bowden was the coach there at Clemson. And Tommy Bowden's a fine coach with pedigree. We know this. He was there for like 11 years. You know, 7 wins, 9 wins, back to 6 wins. Fellas, what Dabo's done, Amal, when they hired Dabo, I thought they were joking. I thought they were literally joking. He's turned into an all-time great.
Look, let me tell you, if they had lost that Orange Bowl potentially to Ohio State, Dabo might have been a guy that eventually ends up getting fired. Remember, they gave up about 3 million points to West Virginia in the bowl game. I think they gave up, 70 or 77 against the Mountaineers? Yeah. They got crushed. He was potentially on the way of going out, and then he gets those generational guys in there in Watson and, of course, Trevor Lawrence. So you're absolutely right. It was a bit of a surprise. Dabo's done a tremendous job there. This is a program that for a long time people have been kind of waiting that had been dormant.
I feel like Dabo could be a very good insurance salesman. I feel like Dabo could host a radio show. I feel like Dabo could probably be a good foreman on a construction site. He's got something. He could be an NFL coach, and obviously he's a great college coach. Scott Spreitzer has a play on the season win total with the Vikings. That's next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You know that voice, the legend, Brent Musburger, and soon you'll be looking live at the 2023 college football season, and VSiN is here to help. Our college football betting guide features best bets from writers and on-air personalities, along with team previews of all 133 FBS teams. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, now is the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. The college football betting guide comes out tomorrow. And our subscriptions include all access pass to VSiN's best bets, betting tools, and daily articles. Remember, if you sign up, VSiN.com/subscribe, because you want the college football betting guide, you also get the NFL betting guide, which we dropped over a month ago. I would say the value of the college football betting guide may supersede it because, I mean, it just realignment, the transfer portal, which has become unbelievable, new head coaches. It's hard to keep up with. Let us do the dirty work for you, and you could take care of the rest. It's vsin.com/subscribe to check it out. The College Football Betting Guide drops tomorrow. We're proud of it here at VSiN. We want you to make sure you profit from it. Amal Shaw. Yeah, please.
I just want to say, I got to tell you, for 20 years, I buy Athlon's, Lindy's, Sporting News, and all those. And I have to tell you, this college football betting guide is better than those three combined.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I haven't been surprised. I agree. It's comprehensive, man.
It is completely, it just covers everything from top to bottom. And here's the thing. I'm not a guy in college football that maybe pays attention to Conference USA or some of the smaller conferences as much as I do in college basketball. But I'm telling you, if you're going to bet college football, and unless you sit there and, I mean, I don't, you know, Scott follows it closely. You do, Dustin and I do. Look, we follow the Power Five. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but we follow this stuff very, very closely. And so unless you're doing that on a daily basis, I mean, you wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I could sit there and break down Florida State's offense for you. But the point is, you know, it's like when you look at some of these other teams, you may not have that time. God, the work that these guys, Adam Burke, Wes Reynolds, Matt Eumanns, that they have done is absolutely off the charts.
You know what's totally great about it also, and just from looking at other guides that VSiN has put out, seriously, and I'm not being paid to say this, but like for football, for instance, you mentioned the transfer portal and NIL and all that causing all these transfers. You know, I used to work on an annual for many years in the 90s, and we would be doing interviews with coaches and staff and all that in March and February for the annual. And then the annual would have to go to print because you'd sell so many, you'd have to go to print by like, I don't know, May, you know? And so the cool thing about VSiN and with the internet and everything else is that a lot of this stuff is still good and new, most of it, or if not all of it, because it's done so late in the summer compared to a lot of the other magazines. And that was the big thing back then is you had to get so much information, you know, that you had to have in the book, so to speak, by March. You don't have to do that anymore if you're looking at VSiN because they can go late. They can send it over your email. That's what I like about it. It's up-to-date info. And my gosh, with the transfer portal era, you better not be thinking about March or April when it's August. There's no doubt about it.
And I appreciate you both because oftentimes I get accused of being a shill. So the fact that you guys are co-signing for me, I know how great it is. And just to kind of one up that, let's go to the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson on the guide. You taught me a shortcut. If you're downloading the guide digitally, Dustin, how can you navigate it?
You sound like such a boomer right now when I explain this to you.
But I don't know. No, you taught me. Remember, we were on the phone and I go, oh my gosh, this is lit.
When you're on your computer, and there's a way to do it on your phone as well that I can show you. It takes a couple more steps. But if you want to search for like Clemson, right? You want to know what everyone else is thinking about Clemson? You go Control F. You type in Clemson. Patrick didn't know this. Did you guys know this existed?
No.
You know, and a little search bar up on your computer, and it'll search the whole page for you.
56, Dustin.
The guy's got 300 pages. What you just told us is the biggest shortcut of all time. It's the best thing ever.
I'm writing it down. Control F.
Amal, you knew about Control F.
I do know about Control F, but this is the first guide that I've opened. So that's
line of the day.
So, you know,
I have line. And honestly, to Amal's point about I don't want to trash other guides that are out there. What I will tell you is I bought two of them. Hang on. Had something open over here.
There goes the big guy.
No, I had to fix something. I bought them, and I hate to tell you this, they're all getting thinner. This one's getting longer.
Yes, that's the first thing I noticed. Look, Patrick, for me, what really stood out is the fact that the depth and detail when you talk about these teams. Because what I do is just to kind of see if people are on point. I go to teams that I know inside and out without looking at a guide, and then when I see the breakdown, I'm like, okay, you know they're too deep as well as I do, then I'm like, this thing is on point.
100%. VSiN.com/subscribe. I'm just so proud of you guys because you helped me with that, and it's all legit. So make sure you check out the guide, which is dropping tomorrow.
You know what's going to happen about 9 o'clock tonight? I'm going to text you, Patrick. I'm going to say, what did Dustin say to do? I don't want to ask him.
No, I've already asked him because it's different with a PC and an Apple or a Mac.
Okay.
So Control F on a PC, a little search bar comes up. You type in the keyword you're looking for.
Cool.
You hit like right now I searched Clemson. Clemson is mentioned 108 times in the college football guide that I have right now. I don't know if I have the final version or not. It could be mentioned more. So I just click through, and it takes me to every time Clemson is typed. You could do with any keyword you're looking for. For a Mac, it is Command F.
If you don't want to type in all of Dabo Swinney, just type in God. It'll come up just as quick.
I'm waiting for the lightning.
Yeah, it's a little proselytizing from Dabo. So it's interesting because if you talk about variance, which is a term thrown around in sports betting, the Minnesota Vikings will be the picture you see from 2022, right? I mean, a 13-win team, major variance, very high variance. And this year, it's 110 up and down over at DraftKings. The win total set at 8.5. Now, most would jump into this and say 13 wins last year, 8.5. It's a steal to go over. You're saying not so fast, my friend Scott Spreitzer. You're going under for the Vikings this year.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure I'm as big on this as I was with the Giants under, which, of course, I'm all liked, and Dustin really backed it up. But I do like the under. You're under 8.5 wins. As you mentioned, 13-4 last year. Then you start breaking it down. You see they were a perfect 11-0 in one-score games. How about 5-0 in games decided by three or fewer points? So if they're involved in several one-score games, you would think that would even out a little bit of a fallback, more than likely. So this team is, you know, they had a ton of fumble luck. If you look around at those kind of metrics, ton of fumble luck. They didn't suffer a number of key injuries that you normally see throughout a regular NFL season. And they're playing one of the, as far as I'm concerned, one of the top 10 toughest schedules this season, the way I factor, you know, schedule difficulty and all that. They want to have Dalvin Cook to help see their way through it. The defense wasn't good last year, guys, but they got away with it in part due to those luck factors I mentioned, especially when it came to turnovers. But, you know, 31st in both total yards last year allowed and passing yards allowed, 28th in points per game allowed. They gave up 25.1 points per game. They scored 24.9 points per game, yet they finished 13-4. The defense loses a lot of players. They lost a lot of corners from last year's team. I'm not so sure that's a bad thing considering how they played last year, so I didn't really, you know, get all crazy and geeked about that when I was looking to find the under here. Then I looked at their schedule, and I thought, you know, of course, I think they should handle Tampa at home in week one. Maybe look at some alternative totals when it comes to Tampa's wins totals, by the way. That team looks pretty bad this year, obviously. I think they'll handle Tampa in week one. Then they go at Philly, home against the Chargers. I think the Chargers are flying under the radar. At Carolina, home against the Chiefs. At Chicago, home Niners, at Green Bay. So you could see six losses in their first eight games. Ooh. The bye week doesn't come until week 13, and I believe they'll split all those division games against the other three teams in their division. I've got them going 7-10, guys. I really do. And I think best case scenario for Minnesota is 8-9. That total sitting at 8.5. And it's, I think, plus +110 on the under last I saw.
I think you make a lot of compelling arguments to why to go against Minnesota. Remember, Cousins led eight come-from-behind victories last year. Fortunate wins like against the Colts. But to me, the one thing, guys, that I would look at from a division betting standpoint, if you like Detroit, Chicago, or Green Bay, the Vikings should win their first game. They have the easiest matchup in week one of the teams in that division. Remember, the Packers play the Bears, and the Lions are at Kansas City, Patrick. So maybe if you assume the Vikings win and the Lions lose the first game, right now plus +140 and plus +275 on Minnesota, you'll get a shift in the odds slightly. You could potentially get a better number on Detroit if you're just willing to wait for that first Thursday night opener and if it's a loss.
Really good point.
Minnesota was undefeated in one possession games, 11-0.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. And games decided by a field goal or less, 5-0. We've never seen it.
No.
I mean, it was just it was and
with a
first
bad defense.
Coach
with a bad defense.
With a bad defense. A 13-4. Again, I keep on saying a lot of 30 for 30s. The 2022 Vikings finishing 13-4, that's a 30 for 30. However, losing to Dustin Sweetelson's Giants, not a good way to bow out. Dustin, where are you on the Vikings?
I'm actually, there's so much hate for them. I'm intrigued, but I will tell you this. I think the reason why, though, I am very suggestive. No, that's not. What's the
okay.
term, the
Keep
part of
through.
Suggestive? I can be convinced very easily about people, and I've watched the QB show, the quarterback show on Netflix, and Kirk Cousins and Kevin O'Connell come across as so likable and actually smart and understanding situations that I think I've been tricked into thinking they're better than they are.
Scott,
Dalvin
the best.
Cook.
Go jump in
Dalvin
the pool.
Cook says Cousins is cool. He said that the other day, so there you go.
Which is hard to believe. Not hard to believe you're going to be in the pool in about 45 minutes. Doc wins. Scott wins. Doc Sports, docsports.com. That's Scott Spreitzer.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hey, big guy, you to go. Download DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app right now. Not today. Right now. No better time than the present. And new customers, speaking of presents, can get $150 when you bet $5 in bonuses instantly. You got to use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. But again, download the DraftKings app today. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. All right, let to say one thing about Command F because you're clowning, and yes, I
control. Control. Shock, you guys.
Control
don't know.
F.
Well, no, for Mac it's Command.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah.
For Mac it's Command F, bro. And I told a couple of people since you told me, and they all said the same thing, like, where you been? But it's a game changer.
All right.
When I'm opening up the college football betting guide and I want to know something about Troy and I just go Command F, I honestly feel like I'm launching a spaceship.
All right. Oh, I got one for I'll teach you in the audience now. Go to your phone. Go to a website that has, like, articles or words on it. Any
all right, I'm on it right. Okay.
Don't tell me you're going to teach us to click on the top where you can just turn it into a read font.
No,
wait, hold on.
Okay. No.
Wait, go to a website? Okay, so I'll go to ESPN. No, I'll go to vsin.com.
Yeah, hey,
Hold on, goat. Sorry, we were just talking during the break about what my nephew said to me about a goat, and it is wild.
Not Tom Brady either.
Okay, I'm at vsin.com on my phone. Go.
All right, so now you see at the bottom there's a square with an arrow pointing up?
By the way, for those that are interested and never been to VSiN, there's a great article about the blockbuster trade for Verlander. Now what? Go, what'd you say?
See, there's a square with an arrow at the bottom of your screen.
Yes.
Pointing up. Click that.
Okay.
Now that's how you would share it normally. Now go scroll down or pull down the screen and
yes.
You'll see a section that says find on page. Click
yes,
find
I
on
see
page.
That. Yes.
Well, now you type in the word Verlander, and every time on that page Verlander is mentioned, you can go to
Is this AI?
This is basic computer function.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I've been around computers my whole life. That's the first time I've ever seen. Yo, that's snapping.
That's efficient.
I know. I've never heard of that.
You know how many times I've opened something on my phone? I'm like, oh my God, this is so long. How am I, especially like for work, if it's something I need. I just need the section on Nick Saban. Pull that up, find Saban's name, and you find the part that you need.
Nick Saban. It just gave me the Nick Saban stuff we wrote about.
Oh wait, that's crazy. That's crazy.
That's wild. Hey, I know you're interested in another type of goat, but you're the search goat.
Yeah, well, you know how I got good at searching for stuff.
Yeah. Well, first off, not just because you're a pervert.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will give Dustin credit for is he is the number one in a good way. This isn't a negative connotation. He's a great stalker.
Oh yeah.
Like online stalking. If you're looking for a private investigator that doesn't have credibility, go to Dustin Sweetelson.
Oh, I'll find you. I will absolutely find you.
Oh,
I'll find out everything about you.
I'll find you.
I actually have to stop myself from doing it like with first dates because I don't want to go into the date knowing all of these things already because a lot of times then I won't be into it because I'll see something I don't like. So I used to go into a first date and pretend everything they were telling me was the first time I was hearing about this, about their life.
You want to know a weird thing about me? Amal Shaw?
Yes, please.
Whether it's a girl that I date, and Dustin knows this is not a lie. I've never once Googled myself. I've never once Googled a friend. I've never once Googled a girlfriend because I think it's like super voyeuristic and creepy and it freaks me out.
I Google myself in the morning and at night, sometimes in the middle of the day too.
I've never even thought about Googling like a family member or you or Dustin Sweetelson. It is to me the most invasive, odd thing and it just trips me out. I don't know if that's odd.
No, it's not because I've never done that. I just don't have an interest in doing it, right? Like, I don't know. I've never Googled anybody to like kind of search them out or anything like that. The only thing I might have done is like looked up somebody from a work situation on LinkedIn.
Sure.
Just maybe some things of commonality. But going out with people, no way. I don't know. I find that to be weird.
I say and do a lot of unfortunate things, and I need to make sure they don't make their way to the internet.
Dustin told me something that he does on my walk to Trader Joe's yesterday, and I swear I was blushing. Somebody asked me what was wrong. Like he was telling me things that were making my freaking head spin. And I just want to say this, keep telling me because I love living vicariously through you. But this story was wow. You feel it? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Is this the first time in 2 hours and 50 minutes we've actually taken a breath on the show today?
Yes, I was thinking the same thing. Is it hot in here, Amal? I'm sweating.
I'm comfortable, but I'll tell you what. College football, and you don't get me sleeping in the third hour.
No, You've been very alert. I didn't know if you stopped by and picked up some mini thins from 7-Eleven.
Wait, hold on. What are mini thins?
Oh, you don't know? Google it. I don't Google things, but you should.
I just hope that we're not enforcing any PED usage on the show in the fall. If not, we're going to take a big hit here.
No, but it is. All kidding aside, I bring that up because that's this 2 hours and 50 minutes that we just did, McElroy and Camarillo and Cohen and Scott Spritzer. And by the way, Scott's so humble. He gets paid nothing to come do this. And trust me, he's doing fine. He does it because we're friends and he's the best guy ever. But this 2 hours and 50 minutes and now going on 3 hours that we do daily, that's football season. It's just a monster. It's like a wave that you catch and it drops you off in February.
That's a great analogy there in terms of a wave you catch and you get dropped off in February. You know, the thing is, I think, let's be real here. The vast majority of people, especially in the sports betting space, all love football, whether it's NFL or college football. You have some interest in it, at least the majority of people do. And I think it's just the summer drags on. A lot of people don't bet baseball. Once the NBA Finals comes, I feel like a lot of people are like, okay, maybe 4 to 6 weeks to be able to kind of decompress and then get ready for football. And I'll tell you what's funny about the NFL. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but we all sit there on Sundays, whether you have a bet on a game or not, you're like, I got to watch it. It's like our job, right? Like you're like,
yeah.
You know, you're on the West Coast, like got to get everything done by 9. I don't turn on the TV until 9:59 a.m. because I have no interest in the pregame show with 74 people on the set at Fox. But to me, it's like you can't wait for those games on Saturday and Sunday. It's unbelievable.
It's better than turning on the TV at 12:59 on the East Coast, losers. I mean, there is nothing better than kickoff starting at 10.
Patrick, don't tell everybody. We're good. We're pretty sparsely populated out here. We don't want to overindulge. If you're a sports fan, you just cannot live in the Eastern time zone.
I'm going to tell you something. You know who doesn't like it? That big guy in the middle.
I like the opportunity to do some things before the game start, run some errands. Because I don't do anything during the week. I only work during the week. And on the weekends, I try to get stuff done. And if the games start early out here, which they do in the morning, it makes it harder to run errands and do things that I need to get done for the next week.
Do you know how annoying it is on the East Coast on a Saturday, on a college football Saturday? You got a great matchup. Let's say it's a noon Eastern start. It could be an SEC game or whatever it might be. You're sitting there like, man, it's 10:30. I got to wait another 90 minutes for this to kick off.
That's how it works.
No, I love it. Oh, man, I got to get that alarm set at 8:30. Got to make sure I'm ready for kickoff by 9.
There is nothing like a Big Ten noon kickoff with that overcast sky going, because it's always overcast at every Big Ten noon kickoff.
I feel like you just described Iowa.
Yeah, to be fair, big guy, based on the phone conversation we had yesterday, you're doing plenty during the week. Okay. Oh my gosh. I was winded listening.
I'm a busy guy.
You are. It's up to you. What do you want to do for the last 2 minutes? Because I don't know if we have time to get into the top 10.
Yeah, no, I'll be straight. The top 10 list blows chunks this week. I'm just going to be completely
transparent. Why? It's my first week back and you bring a whack list?
Yeah, it's whack. Maybe I'll just unveil like a whole new list for Thursday and Friday. I'm just ranking my top 10 quarterbacks and even I'm bored by it. And it's Wednesday. Yeah. Even Dakota said something into my ear. He's like, what's the top 10? I said it was sports and he was like, I kind of don't care.
So, what are you, mad at the company? Top 10 quarterbacks? Dude, boring.
I had some bangers while you were out that did well. I don't remember.
The Heisman one was really good.
Yeah, I feel good about the Heisman one.
Can you put together, this is a legit question. Can you put together a good list for tomorrow? We'll do 5, and then we'll do 5 more with Samich on Friday.
Yeah, that'll be the move. That will be the move.
Oh, this is what I wanted to say. Let's embarrass him a little bit. I've heard from a lot of people that Saturday with the big fight went very well for one Amal Shaw on the broadcast. So
that was
I want to give you an
home
opportunity. You got a minute? Go ahead and grandstand a little bit. Great job, my man.
I was no grand. Listen, I appreciate that. Thank you for the kind words. Just fortunate enough to work with great people over at Showtime. It's a ton of fun.
Oh. Humility is ridiculous right now.
You know what stinks about what he's saying right now? He just went on a rant about how he would never watch a pregame show. Weren't you on the pre-fight coverage?
Fight's different than a pregame show. First of all, we don't have 75 people on the desk.
Well, so, great job.
I appreciate it. I've
heard great things. I didn't get a chance to see it, although I did watch a little bit of the fight, which you know I'm into. But I've heard great things about your job on the broadcast, so great job.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you to all the guests. Let's see. Camarillo was joining us. McElroy joined us. Gregory Cohen joined us. Scott Spreitzer was in studio. So we had a great show, boys. Let's keep it going into Thursday. VSiN Live with Tim Murray and Sean Kings coming up next right here on VSiN. Remember, the guide's out tomorrow. Don't be late. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. We'll see you tomorrow. Sharp Money.